No, you're good. Thank you, Steven. We like to learn new songs sometimes, so good job. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come to you this morning. We just ask that you be with us this morning, that you look over us as we're studying your word. We just thank you for the praise that we've had already this morning. Thank you for Stephen for being here. Just ask that you be with me this Lord, and just this morning, Lord, and just let me speak the words that you want me to speak to and for you. Lord, be with our congregation as we hear what you have to say. Lord, we just ask that you do that in your name. Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, I'm back. I didn't think I would be back. That's what's wrong when you say want, or yes once, he asks again. So this was actually supposed to happen next week, but thanks to Morgan, it happened this week. But it was, you know, 2 weeks ago they said, okay, it may happen now. And so I'm filling in. I'm going to do my best this morning. You know, last time we talked about math, because that was what I was comfortable with. We talked about math. Had a pop quiz. No pop quiz today, I promise. But we're going to talk about kindergarten. Yay, that's right. We've had some that have been in kindergarten recently, some that are about to go to kindergarten. But we're going to talk about 10 things that kindergarten can teach us about the Bible. You know, and let me just kind of preface this with the fact that I was not a kindergarten teacher. When I came to Ira, I had never been a principal of kindergarten, of elementary. I had never, the only really experience I had with kindergarten, because I taught high school, I taught junior high, math, and I was an assistant principal of high school, but not elementary. So when I came, I had a lot to learn about elementary. I had taught swimming lessons for 20 years, so I knew how elementary kids acted in the water, but not in the classroom. But I will tell you, I have learned a lot, and I continue to learn a lot. I've been here for 12 years, and I've had some great, great elementary teachers to learn from. And the best thing that I did when I got here was I just sat back and watched and let them show me what they did, and then we adjusted from there. And I learned from those teachers, and I learned from the kids. And I think we can. I think we can learn a lot from kids if we just sit back and look. My mom was a third grade teacher for 25 years, so I knew that part of the classroom. And like I said, I taught swimming lessons, but that was my extent of my elementary experience. Like I said, no pop tech quiz today, so we're going to skip that part. But let's look at Proverbs 1 through 7. Let's see what God has said about the importance of education. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, these verses talk about the importance of gaining wisdom and instruction. They also talk about the importance of learning what is fair and what's right. This introduction to the book of Proverbs is very similar to the beginning of my iPad's trying to tell me different things here. This introduction to the book of Proverbs is very similar to the beginning of kindergarten. Kindergarten is where students begin their official path to school, and it's where they develop their ideas of right and wrong, and where they foster their love of learning. And that's what God's telling us here, is that we need to learn. We need to strive to learn and look for ways and wisdom and what's right and what's wrong. So today I have 10 things for us to look at from the kindergarten classroom that can help us with our daily Christian lives. These are not, you know, new ideas. These are just things for us to remember. So my top 10 list today, starting with number 10, be optimistic, stay positive. This year's school was a lot different because of COVID. We had to make several changes. We were lucky enough to go to school every day in person. Lots of schools around the country weren't able to do that. We were. One of the major changes that we made was our daily temperature checks. And so as every student got on the bus or as they walked in the school, they had their temperature checked. You know, and we thought, you know, this is going to be hard. You know, this is not going to be fun. Well, I was at the front door, so I got to check every kid's temperature that came through that door every day. You know what? It wasn't that bad. It actually gave me the opportunity to say hi and to say good morning to every one of those students. You know, if they rode the bus, they came in a different door. But those that came in the front door every morning, I said, good morning and have a great day. And I said that a lot this year. But I got so many responses. For some of the kids, it was still early in the morning. So it was, I'm not awake yet, leave me alone. For some of them, it was a nod. For some of them, it was a you too. But one little girl, every single day, one of my kindergartners, every day that she walked in the door, she had this attitude. She had the optimistic attitude. She had the positive attitude. Because as soon as I would say, have a great day, her answer was, I will, and just walked right on. She was walking into that school building already knowing that she was going to have a good day, and she planned on it. You know, and when I told her mom that, she was embarrassed. I said, no, don't be embarrassed. I loved it. That was the attitude that I wish we all had. You know, a couple of verses for us to look at here. We're going to look at Psalms 37:5, which says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. If we go in with that positive attitude and trusting him, let him do the acting. 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Put that trust in God from the beginning. Walk in when someone tells you have a good day. I will. Wake up having that attitude. So that's number 10. Number 9, be kind. You know, I've learned really quickly that kindergartners, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how much money you have. They just want to be your friend. They want to get along. And they want to laugh. They want to learn. And they want to be nice to each other. You know, if I ever want to feel good about myself, all I have to do is walk down to the kindergarten classroom. Because they love to give compliments. It never fails that when I walk into that room, they're going to say something nice. You know, good morning. And usually it's, I like your shirt. And then as soon as one of them says, I like your shirt, they all have to tell me they like my shirt. And I promise there's nothing special about the shirt I'm wearing. But they just like to give that compliment. And if we will look at, there's three verses here, Matthew 7:12. You know, this is the golden rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Or Titus 2:7-8. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Have that kindergarten attitude. You know, be kind. Be nice. Don't work at being kind. Just want to be kind. You know, don't see all the other differences. And that's what I love about kindergarten. Number 8. Be a sponge. You know, what does that mean, be a sponge? Well, kindergartners just absorb everything. Everything you say, everything you do, they absorb it. They always want to learn more. You know, they'll repeat you. They'll do whatever that you're doing. You know, we should take after them. We should never settle for the knowledge we have. We should constantly be studying and learning more about God, more about the Bible. Every time you open the Word of God, you should learn something new or different about being a Christian. Looking at Proverbs 1:5 here. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. He's telling us to learn. Be that sponge. Absorb more in. Proverbs 18:20. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If we will study the Word of God, we will be ready for anything that comes our way. Okay? Be that sponge. Learn. We can always learn more. Number 7. Don't take things that aren't yours. Now, this one sounds easy. Sometimes we have to work on this in kindergarten, but don't take things that aren't yours. Very simple, right? Remember, one of our 10 commandments, you shall not steal. But look at Leviticus 19:11. You shall not steal, you should not steal, you should not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. Lying is just as bad as stealing. You know, and we tell our kids this all the time when they're in trouble. You know, everybody messes up. But if you lie to me, that's just another step. Tell the truth. Admit to what you've done wrong. And that's probably one of, and when I deal with discipline, that is the number one thing with me, is I want to know the truth. We can handle a mess up, but we don't want to be lied to. Same thing here. We don't need to lie to each other. Take after that. In kindergarten, that's a big, big thing. Number 6. Show people what you can do. Right? What? Show people what you can do. Well, if you look at kindergartners, they love to show people what they've learned or what they've made. They love it. They love to put things out on the locker. They love, when you walk in there, they love to show you what they're doing. So how can we do that? You know, kindergartners will show off their dance moves or their latest athletic skills, whatever. They want to show you. I'm not asking you to get up and show me what dance you learned. But God has given us all talents. And he expects us to use those talents. Look at Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Show your talents. Don't hide them. God has given us all gifts. Use those gifts for the glory of God. You know, it does nobody any good to sit there and not share what you've been given. So remember that. Ephesians 2:20 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." God has made each and every one of us. He is proud of us. Show off what God has given to us. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So show people what you can do. Number 5, this is for Keith. And I think Keith will agree to this one. Take a nap every afternoon. You know, kindergartners know the importance of rest. Well, kindergarten teachers know the importance of rest and a little bit of quiet time. So what does God tell us about rest? Well, he's telling us we need to take time to rest. We need to stop our brains from turning all the time. And we've got three verses here. Proverbs 3:24 says, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. He's telling us, trust in him. Lie down. Take time to rest. Mark 6:31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Take time to breathe. Take time to just turn things off. Rest. Matthew 11:28. And come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We may not get to every afternoon, but remember, there are times when you need to take that time and rest. Give yourself some time. Number four, be loud and proud. Kindergartners are excited about school. They love being there. They're excited about learning. For us, we get to have pep rallies with all of our students, with kindergarten through seniors. And, you know, we get to teach the kindergartners to stand up and yell. And that's where I sit during a pep rally is with the kindergartners, because I want them to know that it's okay to scream. It's okay to yell and be proud. They're not afraid. They love what they're doing. As Christians, we should be loud and proud as well. You know, we should stand up for our Christian beliefs. All too often, we in this world, we sit back and we let others talk about what they believe, and we say nothing. That's not how it should be. We as Christians need to stand up for what the Word of God says. We should be loud. We should be proud of those beliefs, and we should share those beliefs. Look at Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We have God there. He is our armor. We should not be afraid to stand up for those beliefs. And unfortunately, in our country, in our world that we live in, there's less and less of this. And we need to learn that it's what God wants us to do, is to stand up in what we believe. And remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is Philippians 4:13. So don't be afraid to be loud and be proud. Number three, hold hands, stick together. Kindergartners are not afraid to work together. They love to work together. Now, they also like to be in charge, so you have to kind of help that out. But they'll work as a team. They'll do things as a team. And they'll stand up for each other. We, as a church body, have been instructed to work together. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning. First of all, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron and man sharpens another. Together, we make each other better. But 1 Corinthians 12:14-20, we are the body of Christ, and we need to remember that. It says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many body parts, yet one body. We must stick together. That is what we're instructed to do by God. We're all different, and that's great. We need to celebrate our differences. But we're all a different part of the body, and to make the body of Christ work to its best, we all have to work together. We all have to hold hands and stick together. Number two, be aware of wonder. Kindergartners are amazed by everything. They have such inquisitive minds. They ask questions all the time. Kindergartners don't get tired of asking, why this? Or what's that? Or why that? Or why? Why? They're not really trying to be annoying. They really just want to know the answers. The older we get, and you see this happening through school, the older we get, the less we ask why. Don't. It's okay. It's good to ask why. It's good to have that, to be aware of wonder. Sometimes we lose that sense of awe. We should always wonder about the wonders of God. We should be amazed by his wondrous works. It is okay to ask why. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Will we understand why about everything? No. This verse tells us we're not supposed to know everything. God has designed it that way. Our minds cannot handle all of the real reasons why. But it's good to ask why. Psalm 8:3 says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? If we look around at what all God has made, man is just but a tiny part of that. We should be awestruck about what God can do and has done and will do. So don't ever lose that sense of wonder. And number one, share. Again, this is not one that comes naturally to even kindergartners. When we know something's mine, it's mine, I don't want to share. We have to teach to share. And when I'm talking about kindergartners, a lot of time I am talking about things, about objects. But when I'm looking at our Christian lives, I'm not only talking about objects. We do a pretty good job of Christians as sharing things. We're not afraid to help people and be good people most of the time. We do a pretty good job of sharing those things. And it says, the point is this, and this is 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound for you, to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. But I want us to go a step further. Sharing is not just about things. What does God tell us? We need to share the good news of Christ. We need to share what we learn. It's not enough to just share our objects. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Mark 16:15-16, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is what we've been instructed to do, is to share the good news of Christ, to be disciples for Christ. It's not enough just to be a nice person. We need, and we've been talking about this a lot in Sunday school, we need to be strong in our faith, to live the message, and to share the message of Christ. That Christ came, he died for us and for our sins so that we may have that everlasting life. You know, and to me, that is not always easy, and I think we know that. But that is probably the number one thing that we have to remember to do. So looking back at our top 10 today, remember, these are 10 things that the kindergartners do, and if kindergartners can do it, so can we. Be optimistic. Stay positive. Have that I will attitude. Number 9, be kind. Number 8, be a sponge. Soak it in. Learn. Number 7, don't take things that aren't yours. Number 6, show people what you can do. Don't be afraid to use the gifts that God's given you. Number 5, take a nap. It's okay to rest. It is okay to rest. 4, be loud and proud. Stand up. Show our Christian beliefs. Stand up for those Christian beliefs. Hold hands, stick together. Together we are stronger than we are separately. Number 2, be aware of wonder. God has done amazing things and will continue to do amazing things. And number 1, please remember to share. Do what God has intended for all of us to do. Share the good news of Christ. Please pray with me. Lord, we come to you today and we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to study your word, Lord. Just ask that you take these words that you've spoken this morning, Lord, and just apply, let all of us apply them to our lives. Ask that you be with us this week as we go through Vacation Bible School. And I just ask that as teachers, as leaders, as a congregation, that we work with those young students that will be here. And if there's even one that may not know you, that we're able to plant the seeds of your forgiveness, of your death, of your resurrection for us. Just help us to reach even just one kid, Lord, or one adult. Lord, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for letting us be here. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.